In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, even though it's the secondary feast, nevertheless, it's a feast which is celebrated there. It is a feast of Our Lady of Prompt Succor, of prompt assistance. And of course, we are in the middle of saying the Novena as we look forward to the ancient, the traditional feast. Not really ancient, because the devotion goes back to about 1720. But that's ancient enough for us. But anyway, the 15th of January is that feast which we will celebrate with more grandeur this year. But we see Our Lady always coming to our assistance. The gospel of this Mass, deliberately, is a Mass of the wedding feast of Cana. And everybody's having a good time, and nobody notices, nobody, that they're running out of wine. That would be a disgrace in those days. Not so much today, but in those days. Because they didn't drink water, they drank wine, because the water was not always perfectly clean. So, who notices? The Blessed Mother notices. She's always there, prompt succor. And so, she goes to her son, who is nearby, and says, "Son, they're running out of wine." And then he says to her something which has to do not with that occasion, but with his life and his death. "Quid est tibi et mihi, mulier?" What is this to me and to you, woman? Using the title given to her by God the Father in Genesis. Genesis 3:15. And so, he doesn't say anything else. He says, "My hour is not yet come. The passion is not yet here. It is coming." And so he goes over, and they have these giant hydrie, they call them in Latin, containers of water for the washing of the feet and the hands and this, that, and the other. And he says to the servants, "Fill them up to the brim." And as soon as they filled them up, the water became the most luscious, most wonderful wine, the likes of which we have never tasted. Our Lady of Prompt Succor, always coming to our assistance. And so this young couple, whoever they were, some saints say they know their names, but I'm not 100% sure, but whoever they were, they got the first public miracle of Christ, that he turned water into wine. And all the apostles who were there, and disciples, and that's probably why they ran out, they realized this is not just another prophet, this is not just a holy man, this is the Messiah, the Son of God. Who can change water into wine? I'll give you $100 if you can. And I'm not talking about switching bottles. But anyway, so we have this wonderful feast, the first of the two feasts. In a few days, we will have the other feast when we end the Novena to Our Lady of Prompt Succor, which we have already begun. And so today we give thanks to God. Of course, right from the very beginning, one of the Ursuline sisters, the Ursulines had to go home because the revolution in France, the Masonic revolution in France, closed all the monasteries, all the convents, burnt down many churches, all kinds of evils they did, because they hated God and they hated the church. Don't ever let anybody tell you that a Mason is okay. They are enemies of God, enemies of the church. They use God, and our money is a proof of that. In God we trust, and this, that, and the other. That's all Masonic stuff. Not that we can't use it, but it's not holy. We need to turn it into holy, but especially by giving it to me. But anyway, the thing is that they're not godly in any way. And so today, we look at that. And one of the Ursulines went home and stayed home with her family. And then when it was time for, when Napoleon took over, he wanted to make peace with the church. And he then began to open the parishes and the dioceses and so forth and so on. And this nun was supposed to go back to her convent. But then The Blessed Mother inspired her to go to America. She got a letter from the Ursulines in New Orleans, who are now pretty much gone. Last time I was there were two old nuns in pantsuits. No habits, no nothing. And so anyway, and they're gone, and they were in their late 80s. So the situation today is not too different. So she was asked to come to New Orleans to help them. At that time, some of the nuns from Spain and other, because Napoleon took over all of Europe pretty much, and persecuted the church too. So they came over to New Orleans, and they asked this nun to come. And she asked her bishop, and the bishop said, "Unless the Pope says so, I cannot do it." So she wrote to Pope Pius VII. Pope Pius VII was a prisoner of Napoleon. It was almost impossible to reach him in any way. So she wrote anyway, and Our Lady said, "You'll take care of it." And so in 1 week, I mean, this is 18-something, in 1 week she got a reply. No airmail, no cell phones, no fax. 1 week. Those horses must have run very fast, with wings from the angels. And the Pope said, "You have my permission. Go." And so she went to America, and she had promised Our Lady to make a statue, a beautiful statue in her honor, which is in New Orleans, in her shrine, which today celebrates a big feast. And that's, we have a small one there in the foyer for your benefit. And so, the Blessed Mother, if you notice the Blessed Mother, her veil behind her is flying and her feet are moving because she's hurrying, prompt succor. And so she took the statue, which is about my size. It's not giant, but it's not little. I don't know how she did it. But anyway, she took it to New Orleans and it was received. And from then on, it's just history. And a new shrine was built in the early 1900s. And crowned by the Holy Father from afar with a delegate. And so today we go there spiritually to Our Lady of Prompt Succor, where I oftentimes go to celebrate Mass with some of the seminarians and some of the other special parishioners. So today we go to Our Lady and we give thanks to God for her prompt assistance. Notre Dame de Prompt Secours, Our Lady of Prompt Succor, hasten to help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we can